Back here on Downtown on a Wednesday afternoon. It's 4:30. Rich Kimball with you, and it's time for this week's Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt is here, and gentleman who has been part of our discussions on the segment a couple of times before with his wonderful collection of poems called Cardinal Points.
Welcome, Joseph Stanton, to Downtown. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I imagine it's a little warmer out in Hawaii than it is here at the moment, but we'll warm it up with some discussion about this book. One of the things that this is really, in a sense, a unique book for me. I haven't seen a whole series, a book entirely on one sport that had to deal with just one team. There's the collections of baseball poems, hockey poems, basketball poems. I realize you're an ardent Cardinal fan and you think that the flyover people are somehow mistreated from the East every once in a while. But what really got you to coalesce around this idea?
Well, actually, I grew up with the 1964 Cardinal team, which came back from nowhere, sort of in the middle of that season, and managed to win the World Series. I was a young person at that time, and actually, I put together this collection of poems basically about the 1964 team and, of course, the players that came before and after. And that was what really inspired me in many ways. And I sent it off to the publisher, McFarlane, which is actually an excellent publisher of sports books. They said, well, this book is really interesting. We like your poems, but there's not enough of them to form the substance of a book for McFarlane. So here is a poet being encouraged to write more poems. So I ended up actually writing this book, which actually takes the Cardinals from the 19th century all the way up to the early 2000s. And they liked it. And fortunately, I was also able to work with the Hall of Fame and get quite a few remarkable photographs into the book. So a lot of good things happened with this project. I was very pleased.
Well, the first 80 years of this, you really have to pull it a great extent out of your imagination. I imagine we're sort of the same age. I don't remember 64 fondly as a lifetime Yankees fan, but I do. I thought your ability to put yourself in the late 1800s and carry us through baseball's emerging years from the dead ball year to year was remarkable. I mean, how did you see any extra footage, or did you just have to imagine that and think about what you knew?
Well, I researched. I mean, all the things I do, I'm a scholar as well as a poet. I'm you know, started out pretty much as a scholar, kind of interdisciplinary, both literary and visual. I'm an art historian as well as a literary historian. And actually, I was teaching a course, Sports in America, and I decided that, well, I really needed to have a major project for my work. And I just didn't, I did write a number of baseball history articles, but I just really became passionate about this idea of the Cardinals and my own relationship to them. So I pretty much read every book that was available on that. Later on, I actually got invited to write a biography of Stan Musial, which was actually quite an honor and a lot of fun. So I became so totally immersed in both the, you know, the history of the Cardinals and the sort of importance that they had as America's team. In my view, they were a team that had, you know, rather low budget. And then Branch Rickey was able to make them by sort of semi-inventing the farm system into a kind of a very competitive team, able to compete with those very wealthy Yankees and Red Sox and other people. But because of the way Branch Rickey developed his farm system, he was able to really get a lot of players. And he kind of, and in a way, Branch Rickey reinvented baseball, although he's not a likable person in every way. He was kind of a skinflint. A lot of his players hated him, but he was quite remarkable in what he did. And that was really enabled a turning point for the Cardinals.
All right. I have to represent the Red Sox fans here, Joseph, as Bruce has covered the Yankees, but I still can see so clearly in my mind Julian Javier breaking up Jim Lomborg's no-hitter in the 1967 World Series.
Yes, I can see that too. And I played second base as a little leaguer, and so I was a big fan of Julian Javier. I thought he doesn't get much attention these days, but I thought he was extraordinary. He had a tremendous speed, tremendous sense of how to you know, catch the ball when you had no idea. I mean, I thought I could do that someday. I could run with my back to the infield and make one of those kind of catches, which of course I couldn't. But I always thought Willie Mays got too much credit for his catch like that, but Willie and Javier seemed to do it every other day, running with his back to the infield and somehow impossibly catching the ball.
Yeah, you mentioned, and this is true, the Cardinals have some of the most colorful players in the history of baseball. I was wondering if on page 19 you could read the Pepper Martin World Series, because my wife read that poem the other day and just said, man, that was great.
Okay, I'll read that one. The Pepper Martin World Series. In 1931, when America was depressed in more ways than one, the wild horse of the Osage, nature's nobleman, John Pepper Martin, a chunky, unshaven hobo who ran the bases like a berserk locomotive, almost single-handedly destroyed the hopes of George Earnshaw, Lefty Grove, and the rest of the last of Philadelphia's great athletics. A triumph of a very common man, in days when most buddies could not spare even the thinnest of dimes, when sorrow reigned hard and pennies from heaven only fell in song, when rookies like Pepper were paid so little, he chose to hop trains from Oklahoma to spring training camp in Florida and showed up late because some ornery cops nabbed him vagrant and tossed him into jail. He strove harder than all the rest and dove headfirst to catch the ball or steal the base. Some complained that he made easy plays look hard, but none could deny the startling grandeur of Pepper at play in the fall of 31. Fans who were just as dirt poor as Pepper loved to tell the tale of Martin's post-game chat with the Lord High Commissioner, in which Landis declared, "Young man, I'd like to trade places with you." And Pepper replied, "Why, that'll be fine, Judge, if we can swap salaries, too."
I love that poem. Now, another person in Cardinal history who probably is as important to the history of baseball as anybody would be Curt Flood. What Brant's Rickey started, the lifetime in prison through the reserve clause, Curt Flood was able to break it. I was wondering if you could read Curt Flood in center for us on page 53.
Okay, I'd love to do that. And in fact, I saw Curt Flood play quite a few times, and it always amazed me that he had such remarkable timing. Talk about a Cardinal in relation to Willie Mays. Actually, Curt Flood, in one of his last years with the Cardinals, was considered the best center fielder in baseball, despite Willie Mays still doing quite well. I won't tell the whole story of Curt Flood, because that would take more than time we have, and you know that story. Curt Flood in center. The first game I saw in the old stadium, a.k.a. Sportsman's Park, the best Cardinal center fielder of all time just kept running under a towering Ernie Banks fly until all that was left was the high wall, which he leapt against, managing somehow to hold on to the ball. Though the wall knocked him out cold, he never relaxed his grip. This is also the story of how he crashed against the vast blank wall of the ballpark we call the Court of Law. He was the only one with the timing and the speed to grasp the real ideal. A man has rights of self-possession. Though the wall knocked him out cold, he never relaxed his gripe.
I love that. That's great. You know, this whole collection Cardinal points, I really hope that all of our listeners will find. McFarland is McFarland. And they're a top-notch publisher. This is a fine collection of poems, and every single one of them move in chronological order. So we sort of grow up with the Cardinals, if you will, those of us that were here on the East Coast.
Right. And of course, speaking of radio, the Cardinals had a real strong radio signal from KMOX in those days, so that people, Mickey Mantle in Oklahoma and Lou Brock down in Alabama were all fans of the Cardinals, because that was the radio signal that they could get. And of course they were underdogs and were interesting in that way as well.
Well, and they're great poems, even for a Red Sox or a Yankee fan, because they capture the essence of what we love about the game.
Absolutely. Joseph, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, and we will get back to you to talk about your wonderful book of ekphrastic poems about Winslow Homer and Edward Hopper, because they're terrific. I look forward
Thank
to
you. And that book is published by a Maine publisher, so I'll right. offer that as an incentive.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll definitely get back to you on that at a later date. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
That's Joseph Stanton. The book is Cardinal Points here on Downtown Sports Lit 101. It's 4:42, a quick break, and when we come back, Bruce talks with Maine hockey coach Ben Barr next on Downtown.